News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. With the Union Home Minister condoling the death of Shobha Majumdar, the 82-year-old mother of a Bharatiya Janata Party worker who was allegedly attacked by TMC supporters. Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee on Monday hit back at Amit Shah and asked why was the Home Minister silent during the Hathras rape case in BJP-ruled Uttar Pradesh. Asserting that she does not support violence against women, Banerjee said she is not aware of the actual reason behind Majumdar's death. The Saffron Party claimed that the elderly woman who was allegedly beaten at Nimta in North 24 Parganas district in February succumbed to her injuries sustained during the attack by TMC supporters. Her son was also beaten up on that day, the BJP said. I don't know how the sister has died. We don't support violence against women. We have never supported violence against my sisters and mothers. But the BJP is now politicizing the issue. Amit Shah is tweeting and saying, Bengal ka kya hal hai? Why was he mum when women were attacked and brutalized at Hathras in Uttar Pradesh? Banerjee said while addressing a rally in Nandigram, highlighting that law and order is now under the Election Commission of India's jurisdiction with the model code of conduct in place. Banerjee said, three TMC workers have been killed in the last few days. Condoling the woman's death, the Home Minister said earlier in the day, the pain and anguish of Majumdar's family will haunt TMC chief Mamata Banerjee for long. Anguished over the demise of Bengal's daughter, Shobha Majumdarji, who was brutally beaten by TMC goons, the pain and wounds of her family will haunt Mamata Didi for long. Bengal will fight for a violence-free tomorrow. Bengal will fight for a safer state for our sisters and mothers, Shah said in a tweet. Banerjee iterated her claim that the police action in Nandigram on March 14, 2007, which led to the killing of 14 people, could not have happened without the knowledge of veteran political leader Shishir Adhikari and his son Shuvendu, who have recently switched their loyalties from the Trinamool Congress to the BJP. Nandigram votes in the second phase of the assembly polls on April 1, and Shuvendu Adhikari, her former trusted lieutenant, is Banerjee's challenger from the seat. In yet another twist to the sex scandal allegedly involving former Minister Ramesh Jharkiholi, an unauthenticated letter said to have been written by the woman in the purported video to the Chief Justice of the Karnataka High Court requesting to personally supervise the investigation has surfaced. In a three-page letter dated March 28, the woman has requested the court to take note of the threat she is facing in this matter and to take up the case and direct the state government to provide her protection and render her justice. She has alleged that the SIT, which is probing the case, is completely acting to the tunes of Jharkiholi and that the government is also protecting him, and hence she has not gained the confidence in the investigation agency. Claiming to be a rape victim, having filed a complaint against Ramesh Jharkiholi at the Kabun Park police station, where an FIR has been registered, the woman said, Jharkiholi is a highly influential person and has already threatened me in public of going to any extent to clear my charges against him. I have already expressed my apprehension that there is a threat to myself and my parents from Ramesh Jharkiholi, who is a highly influential person. I have requested the special investigation team seeking protection for myself and my parents, she said. Alleging that despite her apprehension, the SIT has not given any protection to her and her parents so far, the woman said she has learned that Jharkiholi has already used his influence through the SIT and caused serious threat to her parents and has forced them using criminal force to prevent her from appearing before the Honorable Magistrate in pursuing the complaint and preventing her from making any statement against him. Ramesh Jharkiholi is having criminal antecedents and has already started destroying evidence regarding offences in every possible way, she added. The woman has so far released a series of video statements from undisclosed locations accusing Jarkiholi of cheating her, fearing threat to her life, and seeking protection for her and her family members. Ramesh Jarkiholi is openly threatening me and can go to any extent to prevent me from approaching the investigating agency, she said, while expressing fear that he may kill her at any place at any point of time and destroy every piece of evidence regarding commission of offences by him. The SIT is completely acting to the tunes of Ramesh Jarkiholi, and the government of Karnataka is also protecting him, and so far I have not gained confidence on the investigation agency or the government, she said. Further stating that she was on her own will and wished to fight for justice against the influential person, the woman said, "It is me who is the sufferer. I have to fight for my dignity and womanhood. Statements made through my parents that I am kidnapped is baseless, and my family has been pressurized to make such statement. This is my fight, not anybody's," she said, alleging that her family is captive of Ramesh Jarkiholi and one Katimani, deputy SP, is pressurizing them. Meanwhile, leader of opposition Siddaramaiah, terming the woman's letter to the High Court Chief Justice about the threat to her life as distressing and terrifying, asked Chief Minister B.S. Yeddurappa, "Is your government working in Karnataka?" CD victim claimed to have attempted suicide, and now she claims that there is a threat to her life. Chief Minister Yeddurappa, Home Minister Basavaraj Bommai, and the whole government will be responsible if something happens to the victim, he tweeted. The victim in her letter has expressed distrust about the SIT probe and feels that the investigating agency is destroying evidence by colluding with her opponents. This allegation is very serious and needs immediate attention, he added. The Jammu and Kashmir High Court on Monday dismissed a petition filed by PDP President Mehbooba Mufti, in which she had sought a direction to the passport authority for the issuance of the document to her. Dismissing the petition, Justice Ali Mohammad Magray observed that Mehbooba's application for a passport was rejected by the passport officer Srinagar, as the police verification report recommended against the issuance of the document to her. "In such circumstances, I am of the considered view that no direction can be issued by this court for issuance of passport in favour of the petitioner. Even otherwise, the scope of this court in the matter of grant or otherwise of passport in favour of an individual is very limited, in as much as the court in this behalf can only direct the concerned authorities to expeditiously consider the case of an individual in the light of the mandate of the scheme of law governing the subject," the judge said in his order. The court observed that it did not find any reason to interfere with the course of action adopted by the respondents in this case, and as a sequel thereto, the petition of the petitioner is hereby dismissed, along with the connected CMs. Interim directions, if any, subsisting as on date, shall stand vacated, it said. It, however, said the dismissal of the writ petition shall not come in the way of the petitioner for availing the remedy as may be available to her in accordance with the law. In a letter to Mehbooba, the Regional Passport Office informed the People's Democratic Party president on March 26 that her application for a passport was rejected on the basis of the adverse police verification report. The passport officer also informed the former Jammu and Kashmir Chief Minister that the Criminal Investigation Department of the Union Territory had recommended against granting a passport to her. The letter said Mehbooba can appeal against the decision at a higher forum provided by the Ministry of External Affairs. Commenting on the rejection of her application, the PDP president said it shows the level of normalcy achieved in Kashmir. Passport office refused to issue my passport based on CID's report, citing it as detrimental to the security of India. This is the level of normalcy achieved in Kashmir since August 2019, that an ex-chief minister holding a passport is a threat to the sovereignty of a mighty nation, she said in a tweet. And salvage teams on Monday finally freed the colossal container ship stuck for nearly a week in the Suez Canal, ending a crisis that had clogged one of the world's most vital waterways and halted billions of dollars a day in maritime commerce. A flotilla of tugboats, helped by the tides, wrenched the bulbous bow of the skyscraper-sized Ever Given from the canal's sandy bank, where it had been firmly lodged since March 23. The tugs blared their horns in jubilation as they guided the Ever Given through the water after days of futility that had captivated the world, drawing scrutiny and social media ridicule. "We pulled it off," said Peter Berdowski, CEO of Puskalis, the salvage firm hired to extract the Ever Given. "I'm excited to announce that our team of experts, working in close collaboration with the Swiss Canal Authority, successfully refloated the Ever Given, thereby making free passage through the Suez Canal possible again." "Navigation in the canal resumed at 6 p.m. local time," said Lieutenant General Osama Rabe, head of the Suez Canal Authority, adding that the first ships that were moving carried livestock. From the city of Suez, ships stacked with containers could be seen exiting the canal into the Red Sea. At least 113 of over 420 vessels that had waited for Ever Given to be freed are expected to cross the canal by Tuesday morning, Rabai added at a news conference. Analysts expect it could take at least another 10 days to clear the backlog on either end. The Ever Given sailed to the Great Bitter Lake, a wide stretch of water halfway between the north and south ends of the canal, for inspection, said Evergreen Marine Corp, a Taiwan-based shipping company that operates the ship. Buffeted by a sandstorm, the Ever Given had crashed into a bank of a single-lane stretch of the canal about 6 kilometers north of the southern entrance near the city of Suez. That created a massive traffic jam that held up $9 billion a day in global trade and strained supply chains already burdened by the pandemic. Rabai said an investigation would determine why the Ever Given got stuck, and he estimated daily losses to the canal of between $12 million to $15 million. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.